Alright, so let's continue. So, this is the point I think we left off with last time. That the Rambam is explaining here, he says, Vida, he says, you know, that when he says about the Psukim, like he says in the Yad, that Garza Avim Keves, he says in the Yad, is a mashal. So he says, we're not saying that, but we're not decreeing that, right? We don't have any nevuah that says that pasuk is a mashal. Says, but it comes from our general approach to learning, and the approach of anyone who's interested in chokhmah, and that is that that we try. Our approach, says, is the opposite of the approach of the fools. Okay. And what we're excited about is very different from what they're excited about. They try to, the Hamon, he says, they try to make the Torah and the Seichel into two opposites. Missing? That line is missing? The Igros? No? They try to make the Seichel and the Torah two opposites. And they try to take everything, they viyotzi kol dover nivdal umufrash min hamuskal. They try to take everything out of being an intelligent type of thing, and they say it's a mofes. Okay. Viyivruchu meyos dover al minag ateva. They run away from making anything follow the natural order. Not in the things that happened in the past, not in the things that happen now, and not the things that happen in the future. But we, he says, do the opposite. We try to bring together Torah and Muskal. And we try to explain things in a possible way according to the laws of nature. Unless we know that it has to be a proof, and it's impossible to express it, to explain it in any other way, then we say it's a nace. But in other words, he's saying they run to make everything into a nace, and we look for rationality, and they're looking to make the Torah and rationality opposites, and we try to express everything and learn everything to be in line with rationality and sense. And only when we find it impossible do we say it has to be a mofes. Okay, so I just wanted to discuss this just a little bit more. Now, we started last week, but what are the two general trends? So it's like we were saying. It's like we said a few times already. I think that it's based on your idea of what. It's based on your idea of, you know, of what the greatness of Torah is, and what the schar of Torah is, what the whole system of Torah is really all about, and that of course has to do with your outlook on what man is, and what the Torah is for. So like he's saying, and this is, I think we discussed this last time also, when we said that that the person doesn't, he says the Hamon doesn't believe anything real if it's not physical. Right, it's all tied into that same kind of an idea. That we recognize that we're living in the mundane world, right? And there's an idea that Torah and religion is supposed to elevate you above this mundane world. That's the whole idea. Everybody agrees that if the Torah does nothing more than put you into the world you're in, then there's obviously no point in the Torah. So obviously, the whole idea is to take you out of this mundane existence and elevate your existence. But the problem is, the question is, what is that elevation? What are you going towards, right? So that really comes down to your outlook on that comes down to your philosophical outlook on on what man is and what the perfection of man is. So he's saying our idea, the Rambam's idea, is that what really is the perfection of man, and what does it mean to escape the mundane? It means that as a goof, and as just a our nefesh, our bahami, is attracted to this world and to this life and to this the physical pleasures, and we recognize that there's a Tzelem Elokim, and we try, and that is really a different kind of an existence, and the Torah really is there to nurture that other existence, and that is done by Chachma. That's through revealing the fallacies of the draw of this world to the emotions. So really, the whole benefit of the benefit of the Torah is to really liberate you from the trappings of this world by demonstrating the true, the truth behind everything, the reality behind everything. Like we were discussing last time, the non-physical is more real than the physical, because the non-physical is permanent. That's not changing. That's not something that's subject to deterioration. That's the everlasting realities. Whereas what's present, feelings, pleasures, emotions, those are things that come and go, and they pass, and they turn from good to bad, and good meal into heartburn, and all these other problems. So those are things that don't have a real constant type of an existence. So that's hevel. That's like a koheles, like a hevel. Kol hevel. So the havle havolam. Hevel means that the things don't have any permanence. They just come and they go. So so that's really our idea. That to elevate us is to see beyond the immediate and the desires, and therefore that's our whole approach. And we try to say that all of Torah is really trying to bring rationality to us, and trying to bring us in line with what's real. And therefore, when we're learning the Torah, when we look through the Torah, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're excited about. Say, oh, I see this pasuk, now I understand an emotion that was bothering me. I see this pasuk, and now I can understand, an idea, and that really is the whole benefit of Torah. That's what Chacham is looking for. He's looking for something that will, bring him to a higher level, and that level, and those madregas are madregas of Chacham, and that really is the essence of Torah to him. But the Hamon, he's saying, don't have that idea. They don't have that idea of working on yourself and perfecting yourself and gaining in knowledge, and that's what makes you elevated from the mundane. They have another idea that it's supernatural. That the Torah is going to enter into, you're going to be a player on a supernatural, stage. And that's what's exciting to them, that's what's alluring to them, that's the benefit that they're looking for. Okay? So in other words, it's the old question, either Torah is working on yourself, or you're going to be somehow, you yourself are not where the improvement is coming now, but somehow you are, by believing in the Torah and accepting the mitzvahs, you're going to get a certain supernatural kind of a benefit. And that's why they're always excited by these stories of how fantastic things occur. But the problem always is like, what gives this person, how do you become zocha to something like that? I mean, so all of this really is, you start coming into this idea, like, why is this person zocha to this? Why was this person able to do this miracle and this person not able? When you don't have an idea of chachma and saying that there's really a difference between a person who perceives reality with wisdom and a person who doesn't, then you have to start looking for other kinds of things. So it leads to this whole other way of looking at things, like the holy person, and he's just more in tune with godliness, and they start finding these these like you know, that's the whole Hasidic type of thing, like, well, he's the Rebbe and he can do miracles. You know why? Because he's just a more special person. He's able to be above the you know, the commonalities of man. He's just a higher existence, you know. But that's not something that you can, that they can attain. So they don't look at the Torah trying to find out how they can become that type of an improvement. It's just not, it's not in the cards. But therefore, what excites them is to show how Torah is the opposite of Chochmah. In other words, it's sort of like, and this is a very popular view. You know, there's a book of like the world mask, they call it. You know what I mean? Like, you think it's rational. You think that there's science going on. But in reality, it's all niflos and nisim, and whenever they can see, show something, see, it's all just a big sham. And the guy who can do the miracles is the one who really sees there is no rationality in the world, right? Have you heard this? You've heard this position, right? And these ideas go crazy, you know, like, you know, they have these ideas about that there's like a test, there's like an ultimate test. Do you believe in science and what your mind is telling you? Or do you accept, you know, creation happened 5,674 years ago? You know what I mean? Like, that's a test. That is the test. It's a throwdown. You're going to go with your rationality? You're going to go with what... you mean they make... It's exactly what Rambam is saying. Making the Torah and the rational opposites. You have to choose now. But that means to say that the value of the Torah is not in its improvement of your reality, in improvement in your rational in your rationality. That's right. It ultimately comes down to a belief, right? And therefore, that there's nothing to look for. What are you looking for in the Pesukim? To learn what? There's no ideas. There's no, you know what I mean? Of course, they get into these little problems because, of course, they do try to give drushes and teach and things like that. But
there's no rationale, there's no logic, and you can't. It's it.
Well, I guess they're still going to learn. You know, you have to be nice to people and things like that, so you can learn these moral lessons and things like that. You know, but the point is ultimately, he's saying ultimately the way the Rambam phrased it, you know, however many hundreds of years ago this is. It's exactly not that choice hasn't changed. That choice hasn't changed, right? They make, I mean, you couldn't put it better. They make the Torah and the Seichel two opposites that contradict each other. Shnei Kitzavo Sosrim, two opposites that contradict. And we are Nishtada Lekabetz Bein HaTorah VaHamuskal. We strive to join together from the Torah and that which is sensible, that which is rational. And on the contrary, what does it have to do with saying that everything is al seder tivi? Because once you appreciate an idea of chokhmah, and that there's chokhmah Hashem and ma'aseh b'reishis. We always try to say that the Chachmat Hashem is being expressed, and the Nes, Ram goes into later about Nisim, is really a breach of that, and that's why the Mora Ram talks a lot about how the Chazal try to keep everything along with nature, because it's a greater demonstration of Chachmat to have the order of nature. Okay, so now he's like this, and he says, and we explained many times in the Mora that the Pesukim speak Biderach Mashal all the time, and there's basically no way to negate that fact. And it's impossible even for a fool to negate the fact that the Pesukim do express Mashal, or written Biderach Mashal. Okay. And then he says, and that's why those Andalusians, the Chachamim, they looked for a Derech Marshal, not to start making Shinoi Teva. Shinoi Teva is not a Shinei Teva is an expression of greatness. When you think everything is, the greatness is found in the fantastic, but when you see the greatness is found in Chachma, then you want to see everything working according to Chachma. So the animal's nature should live according to its nature, not start eating grass. But he says like this, and it's possible though, the Efshar Sheyi Omer Gam Kain. Now here's interesting. The Ram gives you some acceptable alternatives to saying that it's purely a mushroom. Okay, it's possible to also say, just say B'derech Kitzer. He has this theory on animal behavior that there's certain times when the animals are biskarev kitzosom el kitzosom, when the animals start living in closer proximity to each other, and there's plenty, they sort of tame down a little. Okay, they become less violent. He says Aristotle talks about this in his book about animals. And that's why Kishinosan Tam Sibas Mir Hezek Balichayim Kitsosam Lakitsosam Be'eretz Yisrael. Apparently he noticed that there was a drop off in the crime rate in the violence rate among animals in Mitzrayim, and he said it must be because they come live when they start getting into close proximity to each other, they get a little more tame. But he says v'yiyya gamkein guzma. So it's possible, the Rambam is saying, that that's what it's describing. It's describing some natural diminution of the aggression of the animals. But there is a natural type of an explanation to that. And when it says they're going to lie down together and play, that's guzma. That's just exaggeration. Because sometimes the Torah talks about something in an exaggerated way. So by to describe the... So what's the difference between that and Derech Moshel? Sof, it's some kind of a mushroom, no? So the difference is... One, the Ze'ev and the Keva and the Kesev are completely allegories to other objects. The Ze'ev is the Rishayim and the Kvasim is the B'nai Yisrael. And there's no reality to, within the actual subjects of the Pesukim, there's no reality to, they're not describing anything about them. The whole thing is a mushal, right? Meaning those are just characters that are standing in for Klai Yisrael and Rishayim. But over here, guzma means it's exaggerating a reality about the literal reality about this, about these objects. So when it says the lion and the sheep will lie down, it just means there'll be less aggression. The lion will naturally be less aggressive because of the situation of plenty in the land. Okay, so that's guzma. And then he says another possibility that you could take it as plain shot. But if it's plain shot, it would have to be a separate miracle on Har HaBayis alone. Okay? Like it says, like Chazal say, Lo Hizik Nochosh V'Akrav Yerushalayim. That was a Nisim in Yerushalayim. No one ever got bitten by a snake or a scorpion in Yerushalayim. So if you're going to take it as in a literal sense, it would have to be just in Yerushalayim, just in Har HaBayis alone. Because that would be a nes, and there would be an idea that's being expressed by that nes, and it wouldn't be a total shinoi teva in all of in the nature of animals. So that's interesting. Those are the three. Those are what he considers to be acceptable. But he says, bottom line, none of these things are foundations, are fundamental ideas of Torah, and we don't really care what a person believes about them. Okay? And we're going to have to wait and see what it is, b'mehirah b'yameinu, and then we'll see if it's a mashal or a mofes. Okay, but it doesn't really, it's not something that really impacts anything else. Now he says, you know already that we run away from Shinoi Seder Breishis, from changes in the laws of nature. But if anybody there are people who don't make any distinction between these things. They don't make a distinction between things that are a mofes, right? A proof, a miracle. Things that don't last, right? But they're just for a necessity. Or to establish a nevuah, so a navi has to bring a mofes. They don't differentiate between those kinds of things. Right? A shinui of teva that has a specific reason for a limited amount of time, and between things that are natural and continuous. And that's the minhag olam. So again, like Chazal say, olam k'minhag noeg. So again, it's that lack of appreciation for chachma that people still today don't differentiate between these things. Right? Say everything is a miracle or something like that. And they say, and Chazal say, you can't bring a raya from Maisa Nisim. Okay, apparently it's not a direct quote from anywhere. It's like a mixed two quotes from different things. But the gist is the same. And Shlomo said, Kikol Asher Yaseh Elokim, Hu Yihye Liolam, Olov Ein Lahosef, Umenu Ein Lagroa. There's a certain idea, it's an expression of perfection in creation. Just like the Rambam says there's a perfection in Torah, and therefore we're not mosif, we don't add and take away from mitzvos, because the Torah itself expresses a proper balance. We don't say in nature that there's going to be any addition or subtraction to the laws of nature. You see clearly, like he said before, that Ein Bein, that the mosif Mashiach is only going to be a difference of Sheba Malchus. It's not going to be a new Seder of Breishis. We spoke about this a lot in the Moorish. It's fine. Now, it starts a new chapter. This is very interesting. He's like this. He's still trying to analyze, interesting, analyzing why people made this terrible mistake about him. Right? So he says, what brought people to this mistake, and to doubt in our words about Tchias Amesim, is very interesting. See the Rambam's analysis of this situation. Okay, he's like this. It's because we spent so much time explaining Olam Haba, and to elucidate the true statements, and to mention all the words of the Nevi'im and the Chachamim that demonstrate, that teach you about the truth of Olam Haba. But, and this is referring to, I think, specifically, well, I guess in both places, in the Yad too. It's certainly in the introduction to Chelek, the whole beginning is all about Olam Haba. Very lengthy. And then he says, and when we got to Tchias HaMesim, we just said, Tchias HaMesim Pina Amitis. That's all we said. Spent pages and pages talking about Olam Haba. And Tchias HaMesim, one line. Okay? And therefore, people thought that we didn't really mean it the same way that we meant Olam Haba. Giving it a short shrift, like just a nod of the head towards it, but wink, wink, really... This is really the main thing is Olam Haba, and it's Chias Amesim. We gotta add it in, but that's it's pretty crazy, right? But the Rambam is saying that's part of the reason that people were mistaken. Apparently, that's what they expressed. So he says like this. So what brought us to this? Why did we do this? Why did we spend so much time on one and almost no time at all on the other? So the Rambam says there are two reasons for this. One is that all of our book, all of our works, are kav v'naki. They are called kav v'naki. Have you got an expression? It means like a refined measure.
Like cleaning process.
clean and precise. That's always I think if you open them in Akdamat the Reb Chaim, they call it Kavanati. You know? It means to say, I didn't just write things randomly down. I didn't just, you know, I sifted through it, and it's a perfectly precise measure. It's a, in other words, say it's an exact kav. There's nothing extra in there. You know, I mean, you get a kav with psalus in it, so you don't really get a pure kav. Right? So kavanaki means it's pure. It's clean and precise. So that was his. That's our intention, first of all. Ein kavonoseinu lahagdil guf hasvarim. We have no intent to multiply the amount of the corpus of svarim. That's not our intent. Our intent is not to be an author and have many books to our names. Okay. V'lo lekalos hazman v'mashalo yavi el toelas. We don't want to waste anybody's time in something that's not going to be a benefit. So therefore, he says, when we explain things, we only explain things that need to be explained, and to the degree that makes them understood. Okay. And when we write, we only write kitzur ha'inyanim. We only write the abbreviated form of the matter. Okay. We're not just trying to make a big book, okay? So that's one thing. Our purpose is to be clean and precise, and only explain what is necessary, not to just write. That's one. And the second thing is that what is the purpose of being lengthy? What is the purpose of a long writing? It's only to describe something that's difficult to comprehend. Okay? The only time you have to engage in something in a lengthy exposition is in order to draw a picture, to tia b'tziur inyon ne'elam ad sheyishlam tziuro. You have to sort of draw and paint a picture of something that is difficult to grasp. Or to bring a raya that something is true. That's the only time you have to engage in excessive writing. And sometimes that requires three forms of chachma. That needs three forms of chachma. Sometimes it's limudi, which he considers to be like a mathematical type of knowledge sometimes. Tivi is natural science, and loki is philosophy, is metaphysics. Ki harbe pam, he says many times, Ye olein bohem inyan v'yirchak tziuro ad sheyeforshu gedorov perish masper. Yeah, sometimes the truth, the ye olein bohem, that was hidden in them, inyan, it's very hard. Something is very, you know, abstract. V'yirchak tziuro is very hard to describe. Until you really give a lengthy explanation. So if the Rambam is talking about an abstract idea of Achdus Hashem, it's something that requires a lot of time to describe, because it's not something that we're familiar with, and you have to bring a person into a whole another realm. V'harbi pamim yitzdorech ha'inyin ha'metzuyar. So that's one thing, that's to just describe it. That's just to give you a way to perceive what you're talking about in your mind. If it's an abstract concept, you have to give it a good description. But secondly, he says, sometimes that type of an idea requires proofs, right? Until you know that it's true, right? Because there's always a difference between defining something and proving something, right? I can define something, and if that something is an abstract idea, it might take a long time for you to hop onto what I'm saying, right? But just because I can describe it doesn't mean it's true, so the secondary need to show that it has to be. Okay. Right? Right? It's clear. But something that's like a mo-face, you know, is a miracle. It's not hard to describe at all. Not difficult to describe it. And you can't bring a raya, you can't bring a philosophical raya that it's true, right, on something that already happened or that we are told will occur. You'll see it with your eyes. Or you'll accept it from someone who did see it. In other words, he's saying there's no room to talk about a nace. There's no room for it. You can describe it very easily. The dead will rise. The souls will re-enter the body. And the dead will rise. Very easy to describe. And the proof is simply nevuah. So where, what's to talk about? Right? Mipnei zeh nefarish olam haba. That's why we went into a lot of description about olam haba. And we univar rehu lehe olmo. We had to describe it because of its hidden, because of the fact that it's hidden. And we had to show that it really is something that's natural. We had to show you the whole idea of what it means that the soul should continue. And that requires a lot of discussion. But Tchias HaMesim, it's one of the miracles, and it's very clear what it is. It's very easy to understand. The only thing is you have to believe in it. And we already have a trustworthy tradition about it. So it's something, he says, that's outside of the natural order. And there's no raya that you could bring from, there's no intellectual proof that you can bring for it. Right? That it has to be. It's not like something that has to be, that Olam Haba. But it's part of the Minag HaNeflos. And all we have to do with that is accept it. And there's nothing more to do. Ma hayalonu efshar lomar, but what could we have said about it? O laharich, what could we have said? So that's what Ram says in the beginning, by the way. Like, he talks about how, you know, other people do spend a lot of time like discussing these things that are, you know, will you come back with your clothes on? Will you come back, you know, the way you were? What age? Married? Single? You know, all kinds of different things. Because that's exciting to them. That's what they're interested in. They're imagining a person popping out of the ground. You know, that's what they're looking for. So, but for him, his point is not to just write stuff. And then he explains also, he says, so for him, there's nothing more to write. He says, Atachshov shehamavukash mimenu shenovo berayos iunios nechayev mehem tchiyas. What did people want from us? To bring proofs that made tchiyas hamesim necessary? Ein sofek shehamavukash mimenu Eitzel Elu, he says, no, there's no doubt what they wanted from me was that I should go into the drushos and all the midrashim and all the agaditas that describe the fantastic nature of what's going to happen. He says, but that's good for other people. That's good for what they want to write about. But you know, he says, my derech is not to go into those kinds of things, even in the yad. I don't go into the background of the discussions. I just give you the basics. It says, if I could have made the whole Gemara into one parak, or whatever, the teaching into one, all into one parak, I wouldn't make it into two. So how could you ask me to just tell over the agaditas from the Gemara? You'll find them yourself and read them. What benefit is it for me to repeat them here? Okay, so it's the law of parsimony. Right? Ram is very, he just wants to write what you need to write, and that's it. But if a person is looking in a book for, not for the chachma, but he's looking for the popular thing, so then he's going to think that the Ram is really not considering Tchias HaMesim as an important thing. Because he's not spending time glorifying it, you know, making it a big subject of of curiosity. Okay. So that's basically the end of that whole part of the book. Now he wants to start another chapter, basically. So like this. Yeah. Sure. I mean, what drove these people to say this about the Rambam is a good question. It's a good question. They definitely mischaracterized him, and they thought that he is a like you guys say, like he's a rationalist, and he's going with the philosophy, the metaphysics, and according to that, and all of his discussion is about the soul, and that the soul will continue on, and that's the ultimate gemul. He says that he says that clearly in many places, right? That's really what everybody, that's what every chacham is looking forward to. Is Olam Haba, Eretz Achayim, and all those things, and therefore they said that that the Tchias HaMeisim doesn't fit into that view. Right, Tchias HaMeisim doesn't fit into that view. So he must be the really rejects him. And what's the purpose of it? That's the thing. What's the purpose of it? They don't see any purpose of it within his philosophical outlook. So they said, okay, he probably doesn't want to shake things up, so he drops it in, but he doesn't really believe it. But that's the mistake. That's the mistake that they're making. That the Rambam, that they're making a mistake between, by saying that the Rambam is a rationalist, and therefore only believes in that which he can understand and see the purpose in. As opposed to saying, huh? The reason for it?
He said that this is an example of the greatest type of miracle.
No, he said that's why he made it a. That's why it's an ikker, because it expresses. It covers all the miracles, right? But to say that it, what its purpose is not really. I don't know if the Rambam ever really discusses it exactly. But the point is. The point is, even the Rambam, the great rationalist, still has to, at some point, recognize that his ability to understand the purpose of things is limited, and he has to go by the fundamentals of his main fundamental sources of knowledge, and that has to come down to Nevuah. And they went a little overboard with the Rambam. And they mischaracterized his thirst for knowledge and understanding into the very substance of his belief, that if he doesn't understand the reason behind it, then he probably doesn't believe in it. And if it doesn't fit in with the rationally why there should be such a thing, then it must be that he wouldn't accept it. Because the Rambam is a rational guy, and his whole thing is that it should make sense. So, therefore, what's the purpose of this? Must be sense. But that's making a big mistake. That's saying that he has some prejudice towards rationality, as opposed to saying that he follows his mind, because that's the source of all understanding, and he tries to understand things, tries to make things. True to him, so he interprets them rationally, and he tries to gain a benefit from knowledge. But ultimately, his rationality is not just a preference. That's just the source of knowledge. That's reality. So the reality of Nevuah dictates that this is a fact. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just as real as his knowledge of Olam Haba, because it also comes. It's true from a different source, but no less of a valid source. Yeah, I already saying it's a good example, like Avram and the Akedah. I mean, what could he make sense of it? He couldn't make sense of it. But the Ram says part of the Nisayan of the part of the demonstration of the Akedah was to show that a Navi is so confident in his Nevuah, that he was sure that was a Devar Hashem. He was so sure he was willing to act on it, even against what his own perception would say should make sense. So it's to show you that the reality of Nevuah is superior to the reality of what you think makes sense, just in your own Ian. That's true. It's a similar thing. You see, I think also he's explaining like that people look at it as like the ones who he says try to make everything into Nisim. They look at him like as a anti-Nisim. Look at him like as an anti-Nisim. But he's saying it's not. That's wrong. That's like a mischaracterization. Not that he's anti-Nisim. It's that those aren't that's not where the value of Torah is. But if something is in the Torah and is demonstrated that it's an ace, of course he's going to accept it. Because they look at him like he's must be against these kinds of things. Okay. It's always the same thing. Like you're pigeonholing the guy based on your own way of looking at things, and you say, okay, I'm putting him into this. That's what he is. Be like a guy says, that group, they hate emotions. They believe there should be no emotions. So that's just a oversimplification of things, because from their perspective, they don't approach anything with chachma. So they just look at it like, You're either predisposed pro or con on this issue. It can't be that you approach it with reason and see how to think it through. So we like emotions, and they're already saying that it's not good to be emotional, so therefore it must be they hate emotions. They must think it's bad. You know what I mean? It's like a guy on one end is going to look at a guy who's in the middle like he must be on the other end, in the spectrum of things. Right, because because middle means you approach it with chachma, and an end means you're given over to an emotion. So if you're given over to emotion and you see a guy not into distancing himself from your favorite emotion, then you just assume he's operating on the other end of the emotion, on the opposite side of it. Right.